All right, here we go from training camp. Just a heads up for the guys back in the studio. We also cannot hear any of the intro music along with the feedback, so that's also something if we can get that adjusted on the mix minus end, so we have no way to hear any bumper music as well. But welcome in to Cody and Gold. We are live in St. Joe. Weather is going to be good today. No,
sure?
No quick drive back to Kansas City during the show or anything like that, so we are glad it's going to be a nice practice today. Final one before they head out to Arizona for the first preseason game of the season against the Cardinals, and of course the game right here on 96.5 The Fan. And our coverage from training camp is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you.
Couple of things to note in practice today as we're out here at training camp, as you mentioned. Let's get to some notes. Let's talk about what we're seeing from the field. First and foremost, two players have returned to practice. Two, I think, important players have returned to practice. One is Drew Tranquil. And Gold, I know you were worried because older player, linebacker, back issue isn't exactly here. But when they come back this quick, you got to feel pretty good. And for the first time in training camp, Christian Fulton returning to practice. He's off the PUP list. He's here. He's available. Those two guys coming back is nice. Still no Rice. Still no Hollywood Brown. I wasn't expecting Hollywood Brown. I was kind of hoping maybe that they just kind of knew they were going to go inside yesterday. We're taking it easy with Rice. Didn't want to bother having him practice on the indoors, so maybe they knew the whole time. But that's not the case, obviously. And so he'll miss practice today. Worthy will miss practice today. And if they're missing practice today, Gold, I do not think you will see either. Certainly not Hollywood. But I'd be stunned if you saw either of those players for the preseason game on Saturday, which just means more time for camp darling Tyquan Thornton, for Jalen Royals and others to kind of make their mark.
It is. It is a good opportunity for them. And I still think, you know, when we think about preseason football games and who has a chance to actually show out a little bit and elevate their case to not only make the team for some guys, in other cases, just to have a bigger role immediately. Yeah, I think the names at the top of the list are some that you mentioned, Cody, Breshard Smith, and Tyquan Thornton. And I will say with Hollywood Brown, the good news is he's down here in the tent at least with Rashee Rice.
You know, versus where he hasn't.
Been some practices where you don't even see him at all walking down the hill. So I guess, you know, that's a good sign. You know, Nate Taylor did mention to us the other day, he'll join us after practice today, that Hollywood Brown, if they had to play this weekend, probably not. If they had to play a real game next weekend, maybe. So that gives you an idea
of
the timeline.
Like, no, then, yeah.
We're, what, 30 days out or so from the start of the season for the Chiefs. So that's just where the timeline is at. And on Saturday, I mean, look, Andy Reid's going to speak today, and he's going to probably say that they're going to give the first stringers the first half or the first quarter. They're going to get Mahomes is going to get one series,
yep.
Right?
We know sometimes, too, if it's like a three and out goal, okay. They give him like a, you know, this works. They give him like a second series. He'll say, here to be clear, when Andy Reid speaks, he'll say a quarter. He does not mean a quarter. He will say a quarter almost assuredly when he steps up to the podium, but he does not mean it. It's a series, maybe two, depending on if it's a three and out or like a four play series or whatever. But yeah, we won't see a ton of the starters. But also, that's not the part of the team right now we're more engaged or interested in at this time of year anyway. We know who those guys are. And so, no, I don't necessarily worry about that and not concerned about that, at least to this point. I will say, an idea that I think we should all be for.
Uh-huh.
Right here at practice, Xavier Worthy and Jalen Royals were standing right next to each other around a bunch of Chiefs fans. And what Xavier Worthy tried to get going a couple of times was the, let's go Royals. You know, right? The classic Gold. And I got to say, anytime he's back there for a punt return, if he catches a touchdown this year, if Jalen Royals is the feature player on a play, you know, like everybody's got their thing, right? Like Kansas City Chiefs, first down. Why wouldn't we do a Let's Go Royals chant when he does something, when he's back there for a punt return or something? That's a great idea.
Yeah,
he plays to both sides. This is easy.
I think that'll happen naturally. Right, like especially if he's back there on punt returns at all this season, that's just going to happen naturally. I mean, people will pick up on that immediately. Like it's one of those things. I don't think we have to necessarily send out a memo of like, hey, this is what we do. I think it's just something people are going to do at Arrowhead.
Yeah, you think it'll just come naturally because his name is Royals and they're used to chanting
yeah,
"Let's
yeah,
go
yeah.
Royals."
I think so. Yeah,
you think it just comes without? You know what? In fairness, every time I'm at an event in which I don't think you should be saying Chiefs at the end of the national anthem, I'm like, oh man, come on, guys, not at this. Not at this thing, you know. Let's be really careful. Not here. It is natural instinct over time. The question is whether or not it'll become natural instinct the entire time. And so I wanted to put it out there since Worthy did it. And I think we should make a regular part of when Jalen Royals is back there. I like the idea if you get a couple of them in, you know. You want to get a couple of clap sequences in. So to me, Golden only really works after a touchdown or as he's standing back there getting ready to field a kick or a punt. For those two, works every time. No question about it. Should be the case. I think Fulton coming back is huge. I was genuinely starting to worry because they weren't talking about his injury enough. I was genuinely starting to worry about the beginning of his season, despite the fact we're still like a month away because he hadn't stepped foot on a practice field yet. So him being back's big, too.
Week one's in play again for him. Week one's in play again for Fulton. They brought him in for a reason. They obviously like what he brought out in L.A. with the Chargers. He also will give you flexibility with how you can use Trent McDuffie for outside versus inside. And we all know last year some of the issues that they had with guys like Josh Williams. I still think Jalen Watson, when he was healthy, was actually pretty darn good, and he currently would be the number two corner. But Fulton now has a month to get up to speed, and he is behind the eight ball here, no doubt, because he hasn't practiced throughout the summer due to the injury and being on the pup list and everything. But he sets himself up where maybe it's not week one, but as the season goes on, they just got deeper at corner, or at least the depth that they thought they had. And then because he's been out, now you kind of reap the benefit of, all right, well, I meant no Williams, and some of the other guys got an opportunity to get some increased reps with the ones because Fulton wasn't out there. And so once Fulton fully gets up to speed, you know, he's not going to play Saturday, okay? He just got off the list.
I don't think so.
The next preseason game, though, I think he could be in position to play.
If he gets a full week of practice, there's no real reason to think. They got a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Their preseason game's Friday night. 2 weeks from today, I guess, maybe, I think. It's right around that same time frame. So I have a hard time imagining he wouldn't be at least considered to be available. But because, Gold, he plays 11 or 12 games on average, I would say that I can't necessarily count on that either. And so, you know, it's that part of it is a bit of an issue anyway, so they kind of run into that. Back to Xavier Worthy for just a minute. Yesterday when we had Matt Verderam on, he had mentioned that Xavier Worthy was having a really good camp or that he looked like he was running routes better. What is our – can we make a statistical estimate for Xavier Worthy? Are we doing it based only on Rashee Rice's absence? Do we think his numbers go way up or down in the 4 to 6 games or 4 to 8 games or whatever that he's gone? So, like, what is a number we can attach to Worthy this year? Should we be putting the 1,000-yard mark on him? I think it should be like 8, 850 or 9 is a reasonable mark.
I think
it's a good season, you know?
Yeah, I think 8 is very low for him. Between the Rice suspension, between its year two for Xavier Worthy, if you told me he only had 800, actually, I'd be very disappointed, Cody. I think for me, he is in position to push towards 1,000. So I'll go the 950 to 1,000 range. We saw as the season progressed, he got more comfortable. If, in fact, he has figured out field awareness, spatial awareness, the issues they had beginning of last year. We had Worthy on the show a couple weeks ago here from camp, and they acknowledge it. Everybody knows it. Everybody is talking constantly about the deep ball and how much it was an issue, whether it's players, whether it's Nagy, whether it's Andy Reid. And the biggest beneficiary from maybe having a deep attack again, and if your O-line is holding you up, would be Xavier Worthy. So do I think he's going to have like 1,200 yards? No, that to me, that's crazy. The people making bets on him to be Offensive Player of the Year, that to me, that's a waste of money.
What? People are betting on him to be Offensive
Player of the Year? We talked about it a week ago, remember? 150-1, and for whatever reason,
that's a wild bet.
I'm with you. I think it's a waste of money. So he's not going to have those kind of numbers because that would take a 13-plus 100-yard season. I think if you said you think he has 1,000 yards, I don't think you can call anybody crazy for that. I think a 950 to 1,000 is very realistic. Anything less than 900, and I'll actually be a little disappointed. That tells me that they did not figure out the deep passing attack.
I guess what's weird is, like, normally you and I are kind of on the opposite end of this, where I would not accept a lower number as being kind of an okay year. The only reason I would consider 1,000 yards Gold, in my opinion, is because of the potential or the future Rashee Rice suspension. Because if it wasn't for that, taking a leap from where he was, which was like 640 to 900 yards, that is a huge leap. Now, I understand if you said, hey, take the last 8 games of his season. So the last 3 or 4 games, or 3 games in the postseason, and the last 5 games of the regular season, he would be a 1,000-yard guy, Gold, right? Like, that is the pacing he would be putting at probably based on those numbers, but it's also just, can I count on that for an entire year? And at least for some portion of this year, Rashee Rice will be on the field at the same time as him. All of his numbers last year are without Rashee Rice. All of them. Postseason, regular season. I mean, except for the first few games where he wasn't putting up numbers because, you know, why would he have been putting up numbers at that time? Rashee Rice was the guy who was there, and he was a rookie wide receiver in the very early part of it. Because if I'm looking at it now, let's see. Yards per game he had in the final five regular season games, 54, 41, 46, 65, and 79. I guess that's the last six. Then 45, 85, and 157. That's like right at 900 or 1,000. So, Gold, for me to get him to 1,000, I got to assume he's taking a pretty good step forward. And I'm not saying he can't take a step forward, but if you said he had 850 yards, do you think that's a good season for him this year? Gold, I think I probably would, because I think Travis is still going to get his numbers, and I think Rashee Rice, once he's off the suspension, will still be the target monster in this team. Maybe I'm way off here. Maybe the split will be a little bit different, or maybe the Rashee Rice suspension will be longer. That could impact it at least a little.
Yeah, if we think the offense is actually going back to being a top five to top eight offense in football, the deep passing attack has to be part of that. It just does. And Xavier Worthy just got a touchdown right in front of us.
Oh, good timing.
And
thanks, Worthy.
If they are going to get to that level, that means his yardage, to me, has to almost be pushing 1,000.
Yeah.
Because that means the passing game down the field exists again.
I know, but they
and
could.
And it's not check down after check down after check down.
You're saying to get to the numbers, for the deep passing game to work, he's just going to, by natural case, get to at least the 900 mark, because enough 40-yard catches are going to equate to numbers that didn't equate in the previous times. You might very well be right on that, Gold. I can't rule out the possibility that would certainly help it. But, yeah, I mean, at this point, it does feel like at least I got to count on even more from him in this year. And as you know, he's a more important player this year because they rely on him more. They relied on him more in the postseason. And, yeah, I still assume Rashee Rice is going to get suspended.
And then there's obviously Travis Kelce. And if we believe what we've seen at camp,
yeah,
a slimmed down
Kelce later in the
if
show.
He's there, he looks great out here. It could be his final season. Maybe it's not his final season, depending on what he does. Obviously, you guys heard the morning show talking about Travis Kelce throughout the entire day with the Travis Kelce day they were doing. And he's been out here every day at camp. He obviously spoke yesterday. We're going to hear some of what he had to say here in about 15 minutes or so. But he looks like Travis Kelce from a couple years ago, just in terms of how quick he is. Does that mean the production's going to be there from 2023? We're going to all find out together.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's capable of doing that. But in terms of looking quick once the ball is in his hands, looking quick, breaking out of routes, that is happening here at training camp at a quicker speed than what it was a year ago.
Yeah, he's definitely been, and also quick to say, he's been quick to say, I haven't said it's my last year.
True, true.
So, you know, we'll see what comes of that. We'll talk more about Travis Kelce, obviously, coming up in just a little bit. As the morning show pointed out, it is 8-7, therefore Travis Kelce's number, you know. The Taylor Swift number significance stuff, always important in that universe. Maybe Travis likes to be a part of that as well.
Who's 88? Tomorrow is
Jake Printing's tool day.
I don't think that applies then. Never mind.
Oh, wait. Is he 88 or 89?
I don't know.
He's right in that.
Tomorrow's August
8th. He's been
8th.
On the practice field. He can't get a whole day.
He's just doing jump ropes over there.
If you can't name what college he played at, he can't have a whole day. Can you?
I have no idea. I do know, actually.
Damn, you do?
Yes, Clemson, I believe. Oh. I believe that's the answer.
Drew, can you back that source up?
You have to run it by me again. I'm trying to deal with stuff in here for a second.
No, you're good. Don't worry about it, Drew. It's all good.
It's Clemson, okay?
Don't worry
it's Clemson,
about it.
All right?
We'll just take – I have to take Alex at his word now. I can't believe you actually knew it. I thought there was no chance.
You know why I know, right?
What?
Somebody pulled like an NIL card of his and it had Clemson on it.
Oh, it's the card game market. They got you.
It is. I just 100%
that card has got to be worthless. What?
Well, I mean, I have a Jared Wiley autograph card as well that I got out of a box.
Nice.
Two of them. Those aren't really worth much these days.
Can we put a Cody and Gold Garage Sale one?
One of them.
Pending approval.
Yeah.
Pending approval. Let's talk a little Royals baseball, at least on this. And we'll get back to camp stuff, obviously. And we'll get our weather report from Cloudy with a chance. We'll see who he takes a shot at today. He called you single and lonely yesterday and then essentially mocked me with bees and wasps the day before. So maybe it's Drew's turn to be the punching bag, at least on that end. So we'll get to that in a minute. But obviously yesterday we had Josh Vernier on. And I had said, hey, is there any reason, like Kyle Isbell technically on paper is as good of a hitter as Jonathan India and certainly Mikel Garcia or some of these other things. Like, is there any reason why they don't just change the order and get Jonathan India at a leadoff spot? And he's like, no, there's no good reason for it, but I don't ever expect them to do it either. They've pretty much committed to this chain of thought. Then all of a sudden, cold yesterday, Jonathan India out of the leadoff spot, shoved way down the order on the broadcast. They said he took it like a professional and understood why they were making the decision. Twofold. Does this make it mean that the deal didn't work and they shouldn't have done it, Gold? Because that's step one. And secondly, is this just yet another sign that this team is in the middle of many Hail Mary attempts to solve their offensive issues? Because here's the thing. I kind of view it both. They know they're desperate. We can talk tomorrow about how many games they got to win over the next nine against bad baseball teams, because it's a high number in order to feel like, again, they have any chance. And we continue to point out, we'll talk about the Royals because they do still have a statistical chance to make the postseason. Even if Alex and I think they're not going to make it. Four games is not enough to just be like, well, that's it. Pack up for the season. We're not getting there. But the move down on Jonathan India is just yet another of many moves they've made in an effort to fix an offense that I don't think can be fixed.
Yeah, but also I don't know 100% how it's going to be on Friday, but I don't think we should take last night, knowing how they operate with leaning heavily on analytics.
Never, okay.
Well, no, I don't think just because last night India worked and hit a huge three-run home run, and Yaz obviously had some really nice ABs as a leadoff hitter.
And a great Robin.
I don't think we should just assume now that India is just not leading off for good. I don't believe that at all. Friday night, there's a very real chance that they go right back to the old lineup, and I know that'll infuriate people, but like they are matchup and numbers driven. Q was asked about it, I think, before the game as well. It, you know, you can believe what you want to believe, but like he at least said, you know, it's more about the matchup than it was just they didn't believe it, Jonathan India. Now you can say, oh, they're just saying that, but I actually
it's
believe
like, why are the broadcasters they telling him he's getting moved down the order
when it's
then,
Q and we're talking about numbers and everything. I believe when he says they made a change because of the numbers. Like, that is how they operate. Would I like to see Yastrzemski or somebody else leading off again on Friday night? Yeah, and maybe we see it, but I don't think – if let's say they over the next nine games, because you're right, they have a nine-game stretch coming up, that if you think they're ever going to get hot, this is going to be the stretch, okay? If you think they're ever going to get hot and get themselves really, really in it, this is the nine-game stretch because of the Twins and the White Sox, Nationals, et cetera, Rangers as well. During those 10 games – I don't think we just think that India's not leading off in all of them now. I just don't.
Interesting.
I'm not there yet.
He's not a deserving leadoff hitter.
I kind of hope so, but do you actually think they're going to do that?
I guess so. We asked this. I kind of do.
Okay.
I think that now that they've got a qualified hitter to go in there, they're going to do it. And like Vern said it yesterday, and there's still a lot of truth to this, which is had they known Gold, I mean, simply had they known that this is the Mikel Garcia that they were going to get, they'd have never traded for Jonathan India anyway. They would have used Brady Singer to trade for an outfield bat. It's not – so here's the weird part. It's like, hey, if you could go back and undo the trade, because we talked about this like 2 months ago, my answer was no, because it was still way too early in that decision-making. If you could go back and undo the trade, would you? And the answer is not for Brady Singer, right? Like, I wouldn't go back and undo the trade for the pitcher they traded and what they got back in return. Brady Singer's pitched 22 starts this year, which is nice, with a 4.36 ERA. And I know in your head, you've got the beautiful benefit of hindsight, where you're like, well, they've had 87 pitchers go down, so yeah, maybe I'd like another start. I'm like, yeah, sure. But again, they had enough starters this year, they just had a lot of injuries. But if I could go back in time, would I trade Brady Singer for an outfielder instead of India? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so look.
Yeah, probably.
I understand that, but also that this is what's fun, I guess, about hypotheticals and stuff.
Yeah.
I think we've all been disappointed in Jonathan India. There's no way around it. He's been disappointing in 2025. It's not that they needed Brady Singer in the rotation, even though right this second they could use him because of injuries. They've been fine with the rotation. What you're saying, though, is they could have traded Brady Singer for an outfielder, and you're not necessarily wrong. But also, it's very easy for all of us to be like, what outfielder? Like, anybody.
Oh,
last year,
I'd have to go.
Well, it's just like, they could.
I know, but that's putting a lot of pressure on me to figure out any outfielder.
No, but it's also, don't know if that's realistic to sit here today and say they should have traded Singer for an outfielder. We know outfield is the biggest problem with this team. At the beginning of the season,
the leadoff hitter
sits
was
here.
One of the biggest problems.
I also would like a better outfielder. I you're saying I'm not being fair because I'm asking you to name them, but truly, I would love, because you're not alone with that thought, Cody. I've seen that a lot over the last 2 months. Like, who's the outfielder you think realistically they could have traded for with Brady Singer. I want like a realistic name because we all like anybody. Okay, that's not a real answer.
Yeah, let me go through and let me find the, because here's the answer. I just wanted them to get a bat. It wasn't, I knew they had an outfield problem, and I was okay with the trade at the time because they needed a bat, not the other way, you know, like not just an outfielder. They did need somebody to hit leadoff for them, and if they had known that that was the case, they would have handled those things differently. So I don't.
And they thought they did acquire a leadoff hitter. Jonathan India was, what, fifth in baseball in walks a year ago. That just hasn't been him this year. It has backfired. I'm not saying it's been a good trade. I'm just saying, yes, I also would have liked them to have traded for an outfielder instead, but very easy to say. Like, who were they? What
Taylor.
Team was going to agree?
You? I don't know. He's a first baseman, but I guess he plays some outfielder. Yeah. Look, I think part of the issue is, like, are you assuming there's not a single outfielder available for Brady Singer? I feel like there must have been one. And, look, I'm not saying that, all these guys are going to make you feel amazing about the position that they're in. I just think if they had known, they would have gone back and do it. But moving him down is still – the point is that moving down Jonathan India is still the right choice. He is not a good enough leadoff hitter. The whole point of the leadoff hitter part of the conversation was, let's get somebody on base, maybe in front of the three guys who have all had 100 RBI last year,
right,
and not let Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez and Vinny Pasquantino lay in wait for nobody who's ever on base. And part of the issue is that I think for the longest time they didn't change it because everybody was the problem. Those guys weren't getting RBI. Vinny wasn't getting RBI. Salvi wasn't getting
runners
RBI.
Runners in scoring position issues.
Like, they couldn't get him home anyway, so what do we care if somebody's on base in front of Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi if they're not going to hit? Now all three of those guys are hitting, and you're just wasting a leadoff spot where someone's not getting on base, not helping them out, and they had to eventually make the shift. That's why I think it's permanent. That's why I think Jonathan India is down the order. Barring a...
It worked for one game.
Do I think India will be in the lineup spot once a week? Maybe. Do I think he's the leadoff guy anymore? I do not.
Yeah, we've seen this happen in baseball plenty, though. Like, last night it worked because it just worked, right? Jonathan India hits a 300 home run, and it looks like a great decision. And everybody's like, see? This is what, this is why you do it.
Well, yeah, I'm not
and
saying
then this
that.
Weekend, this weekend, Yastrzemski doesn't get a single hit in the leadoff spot. Then Monday, what's everybody saying?
Yeah.
That's all.
Something similar. And, I'm not saying, problem solved. I just said their lineup can't be fixed. Like, let's just be honest. It's not, their lineup's not going to be fixed.
All right, let's try to get to weather with Cloudy with a Chance.
With your training camp forecast, I'm meteorologist Cloudy with a Chance, and mostly sunny today with a high of 92. So not as hot as it has been, but the humidity's going to make it feel a little uncomfortable. But not as uncomfortable as Drew posting on social media. Shirtless pics, years-old Burrowhead references, my guy. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I'm meteorologist Cloudy with a Chance for Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah, it was Drew's turn. Right. Yeah, those are fair shots fired towards you, Cloudy. I agree with most of those things he had to say.
Look, if you want to say that it's cringe, I guess that's a way of thinking about it. But look, I'm comfortable with myself, and I felt good after doing the workout, and I wanted to show people that I got the massage and had the cupping done.
I think it was just the fact that in the last month, there's been a lot of physical things on display of yours.
It seems like you're getting more confident.
Yes. That's certainly one way. Well, yeah. I would say I'm better.
That's why
than
I asked you if you're starting an OnlyFans soon.
At least give us the heads up
so we can help promote it for you.
No. Yeah, you know what? This is a free advertisement space.
I'll tell you this. I'll guarantee this. I know we're not allowed to promote random things. If you get an OnlyFans, we will all tweet out a link to your OnlyFans telling people to subscribe. We'll mention it on the show and everything.
I am not getting
an OnlyFans. It could just be one of those ones on the feet one, you know? You could.
It's just Drew's back the entire time. This is random. This is weird.
Yeah, I'm not getting an OnlyFans. At least that wasn't in the cards.
Supplemental income, Drew. Supplemental income.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about side hustles in the year 2025.
That's
you know?
Right.
Some people
that's
Uber,
right.
Some people DoorDash, some people OnlyFans, you know?
That is true.
He took a shot on every different person on this show.
Yeah,
this
Cloudy's been fair. He's going
fair.
After everybody.
Equal opportunity.
Wait till Cloudy starts taking shots at other shows and other people on the station, period.
Ooh. People are convinced that Bink is part of it or Fesco.
Oh, there's more Rob Fescos. Now. We've had Rob Collins. We've had Rob Britton. People
I don't think I've
me.
Seen a correct guess, I'll be honest.
There's
nobody has guessed correctly, I'll be honest. Not a single person has guessed correctly who cloudy with a chance is. And we only have two more weather updates after today. And then cloudy is off the payroll.
Oh, you're saying
he just gets to take a break?
Off the payroll till camp next year.
Okay.
Good for him. Good for cloudy. We don't need regular weather updates. Just
I don't think so.
Maybe if it gets cold. Maybe we get one of those like really classic
game day forecast.
A game day forecast. A Friday forecast.
Yeah.
You know.
I kind of like that every once in a while for the big games only.
Yeah. I don't know if we need 17 of them, but like maybe we could get four.
All right, we've
gotten
this text
prime
five
time.
Different times on the text line today. I'll address it.
That
it's
many
funny
times
for a
already?
Couple reasons. Someone said yes. The same number. Sitting next to you guys out here at camp. Lots of yellow jackets out today. Be wary. I've seen the text. Mm. We have been out here. We're well aware of it. I think it's funny, though, that come by and say hello. You're texting in telling us you could just come by and warn us. You know what I mean? You're right next to us. Just come by and tell us to watch out. We keep getting a text about it. Just come by and say hello.
I've only seen the one wasp, the one that lives up in the tent. That's the only one I can speak to.
All right. We're just getting started here from training camp. Up next, let's talk more about Travis Kelce, what he had to say yesterday about what he's trying to do in 2025. And we got a couple preseason games tonight, a few rookies making debuts. We'll talk about those next. Back here in St. Joe, it's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp. In St. Joe, and Drew Nixon back in KC producing the show. We will be up in St. Joe for the full show today. I can personally guarantee
You can personally guarantee it?
I can guarantee that we are not going to get kicked out. We are not going to get kicked out.
Famous
today.
Last words, I'm Drew.
Just, we're good. Weather-wise, we're fine.
There'll be some you wild heard, boar attack come through camp.
Cloudy
something crazy.
You heard cloudy with a chance. We're good today. Just humid.
Humid and hot, but should be safe weather-wise. So unless equipment fails or something, we're good to go.
Don't say that.
You're the one who said, I can personally guarantee we'll be up here for the full 4 hours.
You're the one talking about things going wrong.
That's what happens when you say everything's going to go right.
Don't mention things going wrong. That's not going to be the case. Later on tonight, there is preseason football on NFL Network. We'll talk a little bit about a couple of those games, including some rookies, including a divisional team as well. I know it's preseason, but there's still a few players I am interested just to see how they look. So we'll get to that. I'll tell you a few of them coming up in a little bit. But Travis Kelce spoke after practice yesterday as we were actually driving back. And, of course, these days he really does like one media session during training camp, and that's about it at this point in time in his career. This could be his last year. You guys heard this morning, obviously, the Travis Kelce Day show that the guys were doing here on the station as well. And I thought there were a couple of things that Travis said that were interesting, including what his goal is really in 2025.
Trying to win Super Bowls, man. It's the only way you get there. And I think it starts in the off season and kind of when you get out here to St. Joe and you get in training camp, man, it really signifies like coming together, the chemistry, the culture that you need to have to keep getting better every single day, every single week throughout the year, and hopefully playing your best football by December, January, and February.
He also said he considers St. Joe a sanctuary. He's mentioned that before. He loves the fact that it is truly just football. He takes on the same mentality as Andy Reid, which is we're going to get away from the city and we're going to literally lock in. We're going to stay in dorms. It's an old school approach, and there's only about five teams now in the league that do it. Obviously, his goal at this point is Super Bowls. He's already, like all the accolades, the consecutive seasons,
the
1,000 yards, and all that. That stuff is furthest thing from his mind at this point, especially since he sat out a game a couple years ago that ended the streak. It is obviously about rings. It is about Super Bowls. And just now wondering what's that accolade sheet going to look like from a Super Bowl perspective when he's inducted in Canton and whenever, 5 years from now, if you think he's retiring soon, 6 years from now?
Look, I don't want to underestimate, because I do think that it's kind of important to note. It's one of those things that people are like, well, everybody only wins the Super Bowls. I'm like, no, they don't. Okay? I've been around a lot of different athletes and a lot of different sports. No, they don't. It is not the only thing they think about it. They do not grind only at the hope of winning a game. That is not every player on every team that you cheer for. That has never been the case. That will never be the case. It is rare still, in my opinion, to get a player of Travis Kelce's caliber who is only about that now and only that. He genuinely, I do not think, cares if he finishes a game with 15 yards and a win. If it is a win, he is good. Everything else is fine. I don't need the numbers. I don't need the targets. I will get the targets, but I don't require any of that in order to be happy about what it is. And so if you've got Patrick, who I think was just wired that way from the beginning, and Travis, and now I think Chris Jones is on board with that, I do think that changes a lot. And I don't think that was – I'm not saying Travis never cared about winning. He did. Obviously did. He's a very passionate guy. The reason why he probably yelled about this guy doesn't deserve to work at Foot Locker was based on his competitive nature. But he had other things pulling him in different directions, and I would say that that's not necessarily a bad thing all the time, as it looks like Brian Cook got a pick.
Yes.
But it's yes, now at the stage of his career, Gold, you're right, where I think it is singular for him, and that this offseason put a whole nother level on it for him. That's why I told you, like, had I not seen, like, the kind of work he put in the offseason, I'd have been back like, okay, the 1,000-yard stuff might be gone for Travis and maybe just, like, a 900-yard guy, and that works. Most teams do not get a 900-yard receiver. You might think a Travis Kelce season is stinking last year. He was, like, the third most efficient tight end in the entire NFL. I think he's right back to the top of the food chain with this kind of stuff, even at his age, because there's not much. He was just way above everyone. So him coming back to, like, an age-related thing just puts him back with the other top guys.
So, I love everything that he's done in the offseason and how he looks. I don't know if suddenly he's going to be the best tight end in football. Again, I think that ship has sailed. But can he be a top three or four tight end? Yes. That's still
might
in the
cards.
Might
be Brock Bowers crowned for a while.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's getting to the point where he's the best tight end in football anymore. But that's fine. If they can get him to where he's the consensus is he's the third best tight end again, that's fine. So many people have written him off and said he's washed and that he's done and there's nothing left and all that. That stuff is what he can prove wrong very quickly this season. He also talked about what he's seen from another tight end in that room, and that is Bob Tonyan.
Big Bob, man. Big Bob, he's been so awesome to have in the building since last year. And obviously over the offseason and everything, known Bob for a while through the tight end world, and it's just a pleasure to have that guy in here, man. Always a high-energy guy, always in a good mood and ready to play some football the right way, man. And if you've been out here, you've noticed how good Noah Gray's been, man. He's really taking it up to the next level, man. He's an absolute stud. And I don't think I've seen him lose a single rep yet, man. He's awesome right now, and it's fun to see him kind of take those next steps, getting higher and higher up on the board and becoming more accountable, man. Him and Pat are on the same page right now. It's fun to watch.
A lot of praise there for Noah Gray. Robert Tonyan does look good out here, by the way, and he's going to make this football team. But Noah Gray,
he was on the Chiefs' social media, unlike our camp darlings.
Yep.
He was on there making a one-handed catch.
But Noah Gray, it's interesting. You know, he gets the extension last year. We had him on the show last week, I guess it was. And I wonder if some of this is not only Noah Gray getting better, but also Travis knowing that
passing the torch.
This is the guy that not only is his reps up, but a year from now, there is a real chance that Noah Gray's the number one tight end for this football team.
I think if he's the number one tight end tomorrow, next year, whenever, he is immediately a league average tight end at worst. I mean, just immediately, a league average tight end at worst. That's where I think
he is. We're spoiled in Kansas City, so unfortunately, no matter what he were to do, people are going to act like he's not good because we're so used to the Gonzaleses and the Kelces in Kansas City. We've been spoiled.
It's insane. The 15th. Tight end in receiving yardage last year had 548 yards. Between 15th and 6th best was only 150 yards from 200 yards, not even. 548 to 726. You get to 700 yards, Gold, and you would have been the 8th best tight end in the league. Only behind Kraft, Laporta, Kelce, who'd be gone off of this list, so I guess then you'd be 7th. Jonnu Smith, Kittle, McBride, and Bowers. You don't have to be Bowers, McBride, and Kittle, the only guys over 1,000, completely separate from the rest of the group, to be one of the better tight ends in the league. If Noah Gray was a 650-700-yard receiver next year, let's say he's the full-time tight end, he's immediately one of the 15 best tight ends in the league. It's just he's not the best, which is what we're very accustomed to.
Yeah, so it's a tough spot for him to be
in. It is, but like I think if we can all use a little common sense on it, we can appreciate that you're not hard up for it. And that really what this means is you got to be great at wide receiver. What tight end, what Travis Kelce has truly allowed this team to do during this time is it has allowed them to be worse at wide receiver pretty much the entire time. Same with Tony Gonzalez. I'm not saying that Eddie Kinnison didn't have good years, but at no point other than the brief stretch they had Tyreek Hill, the 5 years they had him, did they have one of the five best wide receivers in football. At any of the Tony Gonzalez and Travis Kelce years, they never had one of the five best wide receivers in football. And that is because they had Tony Gonzalez and because they have Travis Kelce. If Noah Gray's your one, I would work on having one of the 10 to 15 best wide receivers in football. I would work on trying to have your A.J. Brown. And Rashee Rice might be that. We don't know.
Yeah, and if it
but
becomes
like I'd work on that.
And a long-term issue, if it's something you don't feel good about, you can obviously always explore the draft and a fairly high pick in a year or so. But Noah Gray is
that's
obviously
tough. Good luck finding a 1,000-yard tight end in the draft, you know?
Yeah, he's obviously positioned. Well, you say that, and there's more and more of them coming out feeling every year. I mean,
and yet still there are only three guys with 1,000 yards last year.
Well, Sam LaPorta had a disappointing season.
He really
but
did.
Yeah, but yes, and I think LaPorta can get back to that. But
and Mark Andrews has had seasons like that.
One last thing from Travis Kelce, though, after practice yesterday, he talked about a rookie, Breshard Smith, who everybody's obviously excited about and who has the ability to catch the ball to the backfield. Maybe Saturday night is an opportunity where all of a sudden his story, you know, blossoms from a camp perspective. Here's what Travis Kelce had to say about Breshard Smith.
Yeah, he had a bunch today, man. The guy that has all the athletic talent, man. And we love what we've seen so far in terms of his growth every single day. We're throwing a lot at him. There's a lot you got to do in the running back room, and you know, I think he's going to keep getting better and better as these weeks go on, and you'll see it in the preseason games too.
Saturday night. I honestly, like, we'll do this tomorrow probably, but if you're just predicting, like, the player on Monday we're all talking about out of a preseason game, he is, if not at the top of the list, he's number two or three of the player that I think, just because of how many reps he's probably going to get.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like Breshard
Carson
Smith,
Steele feels like he ends up getting a touchdown.
You think?
In the fourth quarter of this game.
It feels like a Breshard Smith. You know, I would have said Tyquan Thorne, but because of the injuries, they may not even play him much Saturday night.
He might have to, I mean, because there's no Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown at practice right now, might want to be careful with Tyquan. Might be a lot of Jason Brownlee coming up on Saturday night, right?
We
might
see. Brownlee could be a late
Elijah
addition.
Elijah Badger and him, yeah.
One of those guys could be the late addition to Camp Island.
I don't think just a touchdown alone would get Elijah Badger in there, but if it was a sick catch for a touchdown, we might be having a conversation. He was already a fringe island guy anyway. I really regret not taking him instead of Elijah Mitchell. But in the same time, Elijah Badger would have already been kicked off too. So, like, no matter what, I'd have been without my guy. So it hurts either way.
Our training camp coverage here in St. Joe brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app. Find a location near you. This is the final practice before they head off to Arizona on Saturday. Tomorrow is an off day if you're just tuning in for the first time today. Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice working off to the side in the medical tent. No surprise really there. We did see Drew Tranquil back out of practice. That's obviously a positive, and we're expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes once practice wraps up. But, Cody, tonight, we got a couple NFL games. We got some preseason football.
Preseason?
Three of them. We got
this
two.
Is how preseason works. You just get them at all kinds of random times.
Yeah, there'll be some tomorrow night, too. But tonight we get two on NFL Network, Colts-Ravens. Late game tonight, Raiders-Seahawks. In the middle there, a game that you won't be able to watch locally. Drew will somehow find some stream of Cincinnati and Philly.
Yes, I will.
They're playing at 6:30. And I know it's preseason, but, one, the Raiders are in your division. But there's a couple rookies, some young guys I'm curious to see. In that game in particular, one, I want to see, depending on how many reps they get, I want to see Ashton Jeanty a little bit. I want to see a couple of the other young wide receivers the Raiders brought in. And obviously Pete Carroll is
the new look Geno Smith offense. You're going to get a drive.
Geno maybe barely plays. But that would be one I'm intrigued by. Colts-Ravens, I mean, unless
I got to be honest.
Anthony Richardson's been banged up. Daniel Jones, I guess. Like, really, the Raiders are the only team I'm all that interested in seeing. The Bengals are going to have a defense that is going to have a bunch of young guys on it anyway, and I guess it's you can watch that if you want. But Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, what are they playing? If they're going to play more than maybe in the past because of their September struggles, that's about it.
I think they're playing like three to four series is what Zach Taylor said.
Now, look, again, Andy says that. I would be shocked if it's that much. But it goes back to the same thing. Good for them if they actually do it. Not playing in the preseason hasn't exactly done it, but I'll tell you, man, the ultimate backfire if one of those guys get hurt for them. Him sitting them out this entire time, the ultimate backfire if for some reason that took place. I am a little bit intrigued by Anthony Richardson. Does that make me a sicko? I am actually kind of interested in the Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson
quarterback. Are you going to be locked into the game tonight?
I'm not locked in.
Jones gives him the best chance week one.
I actually think I'm kind of buying a little bit of the Anthony Richardson has worked really hard in this offseason to try to make himself a competitive NFL player.
I don't know if it was irreparable damage when you pull yourself out of a game because you're tired in the locker room. How can you?
I think it's why he worked so hard in the offseason. Yeah. He's like, that might have been his wake-up moment, man.
You're right. It could be.
I am kind of – it's like one of the few – like, the rest of that roster is not total garbage is part of the problem. And so there is still part of you – like, their defense isn't very good, but, like, there is still part of you that's like, I don't know, there's some, like, redeeming qualities on that roster. I'm, like, a little intrigued. And so, yeah, I kind of want to know who their quarterback's going to be. Mostly because if there's going to be a surprise upset division winner, it's coming from that division. It's coming from the AFC South. If it's not the Texans, you're
both Souths. I would say both Souths.
Yeah, fine. It's coming from there. It's
the Chiefs play the Colts, as we all know, also this year, too. That's another, you know, not till November 23rd, all right? By then, they might have three different quarterbacks or something. But the Colts do open the season against the Dolphins, the Broncos, the Titans, and the Rams. Against the Dolphins, they could win that game. Broncos will be underdogs, obviously. Titans, they could win that game. Rams will be underdogs. Raiders, they're probably slight dogs, depending on how the Raiders are playing. And then there'll be dogs against the Rams. I mean, could the Colts have a 2-2 record?
Is Matthew Stafford playing? Will they be a dog
to
the Rams if it's Jimmy Garoppolo?
We'll get to that in all 32, but yeah.
I mean, that's the other part of it. Look, preseason, because there's no Royals game, if we're not watching something else, will I put it on as you've described, background noise? Maybe. It's got a shot tonight. It's got a better shot than the Hall of Fame game.
The late one I'm actually going to enjoy more because I love that. It doesn't start till 9 o'clock.
You'll just be sitting in your bed watching
I'll sit in bed. It'll be 10 o'clock, and I'll just have the game on. It'll be third quarter at that point, maybe. I don't know, halftime. You know, I won't care, but it'll be just nice to have right before I go to bed, just have football on the TV. I love it.
Any interest in does the card market bear any fruit there in the preseason game for you? Any movement if Ashton Genty has 100 yards?
If Ashton Genty has a big game, I've got a couple not autoed rookies. I have a couple Cam Scadaboo rookies, but he's hurt. For the Giants, and the Giants don't play tonight. But, yeah, there's a couple players like that. I mean, we're about to enter football card seat where people are buying football cards more. We're in that time frame now. Baseball, obviously, has been front and center. But, yeah, we're about to get where people are thinking football. One of the big football card releases happened yesterday, National Treasures. So people are thinking football.
I saw somebody open that. They've got a box for the National Treasure.
It's like a $3,000 box, $2,500 box.
I saw one that was just – it's a singular card, and it's like a grand –
That's not Treasures. That's something else.
Well, I thought that was Treasures.
Treasures comes with
eight to ten
cards.
Maybe, you know, I take it back. That was an NBA product.
Treasures is like 8 to 10 cards in it with a couple autos in the box. You're looking for – now, what's tricky – we're going way down the rabbit hole.
Quarterback?
Well, Topps is owned by Fanatics now, okay? Panini comes out with National Treasures. So they don't – a lot of the rookie quarterbacks don't sign. So, like, Jaden Daniels does not sign in the National Treasures. He's a Topps guy.
Well, then that doesn't make it nearly as appealing.
It is not as good of a product this year. Now, Mahomes has a deal with Panini. Mahomes' autos are only in Panini products. I know.
So again, I could get a Mahomes one-of-one in the National Treasures, but I can't get...
You could.
But I can't
you
get...
The, you, can get the NFL, you can get the shield. You can get the
Ooh.
Shield. That's kinda the big one.
The logo.
J.J. McCarthy has some big cards in that. Anyway. But, yeah, man. Oh, we're also 2 days away. I'm counting down. 2 days away from finding
is it
out.
Still at the...
It is at $27.50, the Caitlin Clark card. The auction ends Saturday at 8 or 9 o'clock, and then it has extended
longer.
Bidding. So, yes. Those of you that keep asking about it, you know, if you want to put in a bid, go for it. Go right ahead.
Right now, it's a great price.
It is. A very good
bid,
price.
Get your bid in for $3,000.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, figure out where you want to go next with it.
That's right.
I know we've got listeners that have money. I know it. I know some of you guys have money. Just has to be true. More than me.
I also know there's listeners that collect cards. I know. We also know there's a lot of Chiefs fans in Iowa.
One thing I wish they would
She's a Chiefs fan.
Yeah. One thing I wish they would do for preseason games is something the ACC is getting ready to bring to college football, which is do it to test if it works.
Yeah.
The ACC announced that they're going to allow fans to hear what the replay review people are saying about said review that they are looking at when making a determination either to uphold the call or overturn it. Look, in the effort of transparency, greatest thing ever. Worst case scenario for this, though, admittedly, is what if they're hemming and hawing back and forth and then they still change it? Because if there's that much discussion about, like, I don't know, Jim, and then he's like, no, we're changing it. I can see here his foot is down, but the other guy was expressing a little bit of concern. They better be very careful what they say. But the transparency part's great. I want to hear what they've been saying this whole time. I wonder what they were looking at on some plays or how they made a determination on it. You want to give me the peek behind the curtain? I'm in.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's smart because it hopefully could lead to less conspiracies about what the heck's happening with replay.
Maybe the Chiefs won when Josh Allen tried a QB sneak and got stopped short, if we could hear that.
Yep, and so we've seen during the XFL and the UFL, those spring leagues that never make it, they've been transparent with these replay reviews for a couple of years. And what you were describing about, like, the back and forth, that doesn't usually happen. They're all very calm, and they're like, all right, I've got this angle, and yep, okay, we've got a knee on the ground. Okay, that's going to be a catch. Yep, that's a – like, it's very – they're actually –
It's quick.
It's very calm.
Why the hell does they take so long?
It's very calm and all that. There's not a bunch of like, no, Brian, you're wrong. I see. Like, there's none of. There's no arguing with each other. It's more of like, all right, let's get another angle. Looks, you know, it's not. I think people have this idea that we're going to hear these guys like arguing about the call behind the scenes. They're not. That's not what it is. If it's anything like what we saw in the XFL, it'll just be a little transparent, which I like. And if it goes well, you're right, Cody. We'll see this eventually in other conferences. We'll see it in other sports. The NFL might be the last one to do it. I don't know. But I think it could help eliminate some of the conspiracies, especially with the, you know, everybody thinks because of sports betting that everything is rigged now. And so it'll fix some of that if we actually have a camera and audio of the replay review going on. So I'll be curious to watch it for the SEC.
I think it would have been really beneficial to Bills fans and for all the NFL conspiracy theorists, specifically in that playoff game. Because, Gold, I can't definitively tell you that Josh Allen didn't get that first down. I can't. I don't know that one way or the other. I'm looking at it. I can't tell you whether or not he got that line or not. But what they called is that he didn't. And then when they went to go look at it, they had no choice but to just leave the call as it stands. And at least if you had a ref and a couple of people sitting there on a call and you could hear him say, hey, Jim, there's clearly no line here. You got a line. You got an angle. I can't see it. Can't tell if you crossed the line. Let's go ahead and leave that thing up there. Thanks. We'll leave it as it is. That seems to only help the transparency. And look, the NFL is the opposite of transparent 99.9% of the time. Look at like what happened yesterday. NFL players like Chris Jones were on our show, George Kittle, and others, talking about how the NFL was getting ready to ban smelling salts and losing it because it is something that used throughout the league, only to find out that it's only that the teams can't provide it. They didn't say why the teams can't provide it anymore other than the same medical concerns they had before.
Liability, probably.
So you're fine with them using it, but you're not. Yeah, future concussion lawsuits you're trying to protect yourself against. They're not. It's hard to be open and honest when you play at that level.
Did you see, I think it was Marlon Humphreys, a corner for the Ravens, said he tweeted out, I just spent $1,000 on Amazon on smelling salts.
So That's crazy.
So he just loaded up. So he won't be the only one. Clearly, they all use it, and so they're just going to order it in bulk, and they'll keep it in their locker or something. They're allowed to do that.
That's crazy to me. That, you know, we always talk about like the cost of being an athlete. Like, your body stuff is always the hardest part. The trainer, all
the
stuff.
Yeah, LeBron spends millions of dollars a year.
Hidden cost in being an athlete sometimes where, like, I do understand. I still don't think you should go broke if you make $100 million in your career. But I understand the hidden cost part of it. The idea that someone got online and bought a grand worth of smelling salts so that he's good for a little bit. This feels like a chip-in thing. You guys feel like you get a better bulk price.
I mean, they clearly are worried about that being taken away. Like, they are all... Dare I say, like, addicted
to that. I gotta
be
honest. I didn't
realize. You know what I mean? Like,
are we gonna see a 30 for 30 20 years from now, like we did the concussion things, and it's gonna turn out that every single NFL player was hooked on
smelling salts? Has been around for forever.
I didn't realize how big of a deal it was.
People use it at low, you know, college. I'm sure there's some high school kids out there that are using them too.
Well, someone earlier yesterday said their kid's high school son's hockey team. They all use the salts. They start early.
It is weird, though, like when it's like every player freaked out so much, like, I have to have this to be amped up to play. Like, that's kind of crazy.
I thought adrenaline was
crazy.
Just a part of football. Like, you know, you're running around trying to tackle somebody and your adrenaline would get up. But I guess not. Apparently need the smelling salt in order to do it.
All right, up next, we'll continue broadcasting live from training camp. We'll talk a little Royals baseball, something we asked Josh Vernier yesterday about the AL wildcard hunt. And then we do a little All-32 live from camp.